You're listening to Stone Church. Now join us for this week's message.
Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 and stand with me, please. We're going to start verse 26. And we're looking at the conception of Jesus. What if, part 2. Amen. Say, what if? What if God did not use us? Oh my. Amen. We want God to use us. Verse 26. Are you there? Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. Say, favor. The Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed. Say, perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign forever over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. Say nothing. And Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. Father, God, we want to be used by you. We want, Father, your life and your spirit and your kingdom, God, to be expounded in the earth. We want to see your will established. Father, maybe we're not called to the nations, God, but we are called to those close to us, to our family, Lord God. And Father, I pray that we would be able to perceive, Father, what you want to do in our lives, Lord God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we just praise you. I thank you, Lord God, that you use common people to do very uncommon things, Lord God. Father, to change the world for the kingdom, Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless your word. I bind every demonic power that would speak negative thoughts to our mind, telling us that we are unworthy or incapable, Father God, or that we are not called, questioning our salvation, questioning our character, questioning, Father, your love for us. God, we bind those voices in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask that the power of the Holy Spirit begin to speak to our hearts, Lord God, according to the mysteries and the truths of your kingdom in the precious name of Jesus. And if you receive that, shout amen. 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 Have a seat. We all know Mary. We all know that she's the mother of our Lord these days. You know, we're coming upon our third generation of unchurched people. And so things that we take for granted as we preach the gospel and share the word, we can't take for granted anymore. So we have to start at the very beginning. Mary is the mother of Jesus. Amen. She's the mother of our Lord. And in this moment, Gabriel, the messenger of God, an angel, visits this young girl, maybe 15, 16 years old. Some believe she may have been younger. Some believe she may have been a little bit older. And God chooses this very uncommon vessel to perform one of the greatest acts and works that God has ever done in the history of eternity, perhaps second or even above the creation of the world. Mary was incredibly unlikely because of the fact that she was common. She was just a young girl. And not only was she a young girl, but she was the very least likely instrument that you would think that God would choose to perform a work that would cause such duress and such stress and such danger and such marital turmoil. Because when we read about how Joseph responded to Mary, you know, saying, "I'm impregnated by the Spirit of God and I'm going to give birth to the Son." I mean, they leave a lot of that out, but I can promise you, if he was Italian, there would be a lot of problems in the household. They leave a lot of those conversations out, so we think these people just walked on water and everything they did. But I can guarantee you, Joseph probably kicked a few doors and banged a few tables until God spoke to him in Matthew 1 and said, "Listen, this thing that is in Mary, it's by the Holy Spirit. She conceived by the Holy Spirit, and it is going to be the work of God. And so don't put her away. Don't divorce her." And so there were a lot of problems, and so I could think of a lot. I would have maybe gotten like a 45 or 50 year old battle axe that's seen a little tension in her day. You know what I mean? Someone who's been around a little bit. And maybe they say, "Hey, you're gonna give birth to the Son of God, it's gonna be horrific." I mean, God even told Mary through Anna, the prophetess, that your own soul's going to be pierced through with a sword. This was not going to be an easy task. And so it was absolutely vital that when this angel came to Mary, that she was able to perceive her value before God and perceive that she could do anything that God's called her to do. That the thing she was about to conceive, the conception would happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that she would receive the miracle according to the way God spoke to her through Gabriel. And she would stand in it and walk in it until Christ died for us on the cross. And there she was, still standing with Him. Amen? God wants to use you. And you might not give birth to the Son of God. In fact, gentlemen, if your wife comes home and tries to use that, you might want to seek some pastoral counseling. But there are tremendous things that we need to start asking God. Who am I in you? What do you want to do with me? I don't care if you're 70. I don't care if you're 80. I don't care if you're 13. I don't think if you're 12. I watched Jeff Schwab. This young guy come to us a couple months ago. And thank you all, by the way, who gave toys and stuff. We went to the hospital yesterday, and this young guy had a little vision of helping some kids with some toys and some games because he had spent some real hard days in the children's hospital, Loyola. How long was he there? A year on off, a year and a half. And he didn't come out of there bitter and angry at God. He came out saying, "You know what, Lord, what can I do to make other people who go through this?" I mean, this was not an earth-shattering, you know, maybe an earth-changing work of faith. But he made it happen. He wanted to bring toys and coloring books to kids who were in their suffering and going through some of the hardest trials of their life. And I congratulated him yesterday. I said, "You know what, man, you made this happen." And who knows whose lives are going to be changed. The next Charles Spurgeon might be in that burn unit. You hear what I'm saying? Their lives might be touched by the ripple effect of what happened. You don't have to be Reinhard Bonnke to change the world. But God wants to use you. Amen? Amen. You have to be able to perceive that God's plan includes you. Say, "It includes me." Verse 26. You there? Let me read this again. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city called Galilee, or to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he told her, 'Greetings, favored one.'" Say, "Favored one." "The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed. Say, "Perplexed." At the statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. No pressure. No pressure, Mary. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign forever over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. The promises of the coming Messiah were no mystery to the Jews. This was not a secret. She didn't struggle with that at all. She didn't say, oh, the Messiah, he's coming. She knew he was coming. This was an established fact in the history of Israel. In fact, I was on a ski forum. I haven't skied so much in the last few years, but I used to be a very avid skier, big mountain, backcountry. I loved it. And I was on the ski forum, and one of the skiers was Jewish, and he befriended a man that he met that was a rabbi. It was amazing. They ended up taking it off the thread, but I went back because I wanted to copy it and keep it. And he was talking, this rabbi was telling him, you know, it was great talking to you. Be prepared because our Messiah is going to come and you have to be ready when he comes. And he just gave this theological oration of who Jesus, the Messiah, rather, to them, who the Messiah was going to be. And it was astounding. They don't have a problem with that. Mary didn't struggle with that. 2 Samuel 7:12 says, when your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, your descendant who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. He's talking to David. Isaiah 7:14, we know this passage. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. Amen. Gabriel, or in the vision, God spoke to Joseph about this being the Son of God and the child of God. So this part of Gabriel's message was not hard for them to believe. Where Mary began to struggle was when she began to realize that she had now become an indispensable part of the salvation story. And you can see her bewilderment in the conversation. Those words, perplexed and pondering, they're in a tense in the Greek, which means they're constant and ongoing. In other words, she never questioned for one moment whether or not this was an actual angel. Right? That's the part that would freak me out. Okay? Like, I'm not struggling with the promises, dude. You know, he's like, I'm Gabriel, or whatever that looked like. She never questioned it, so we have to be able to assume that she had no problem knowing that was an angel. We together on that? She had no struggles at all with the promises. She had no struggles at all with the reality that an angel was bringing her word from the Lord. She had no struggles that the Messiah was going to come. She didn't struggle with any of that because she knew all that was going to happen. But those words, pondered and perplexed, they're in the ongoing tense in the Greek. In other words, what it means is the entire time Gabriel's talking to her, she struggled at the salutation. Hello, highly favored one. That's where Mary lost him. Because she couldn't even fathom why this angel is in her house talking to her like that. You know, so many times we don't struggle with the promises of God. We don't struggle with the covenants and the promises and all the wonderful things. We don't struggle and we don't doubt that God called Reinhard Bonnke, that God called Billy Graham, that God called Dave Wilkerson, and they did all miracles, and we flocked by droves to go reap of that anointing and that blessing upon their lives. What we struggle with is the day when it comes to our front door and God walks in the living room and says, thou art the man or the woman. That's when we begin to struggle. We struggle when we have to look at our lives and fathom that God could do anything more with me than this. I share that story when I married my wife. Not in a million years. Not in a million years. I know I didn't win 77 million people to the Lord. Yeah, I don't know what God's going to do in the future. But I know this. It was all I could do to believe God as a homeless crack addict with nothing, $65,000 in bad debt, 2 cars repossessed, lost my home, lost everything, lost my career. And every night I went into a storage closet with a little window that I could see the moon. And I would cry, and my prayers of faith sounded like this: "Oh God, what can you possibly do with my life? What can you possibly do with my life? Everyone hates me. My family didn't call me for over a year. No one came to visit me. I got no letters. I got no gifts. I got no Christmas, nothing. And you know what? I didn't deserve it. What are you going to do?" I didn't struggle and say, "Oh God, I don't believe the promises in the Bible." What I struggled with was that I struggled with the promises in the Bible being for me, that God could use me or change my life or use me to influence the lives of other people. We don't struggle that the promises and the covenants of God are yea and amen. We struggle when the promises and the covenants of God are yea and amen. God wants to pour them out on me. That's where we struggle. And that's the tension of that moment. And it's hysterical to me. Have you ever come in and told someone in your family something completely shocking? And so you tell them and it hits them like a brick wall. And then you go on and you start filling in all the details. And they go, "Hold up, hold up. They said what?" And you go, "Oh, man." You got to go all the way back and tell them again because they're so shocked at the reality of what you just said to them. The whole time Gabriel's talking to Mary, she's trying to wrap her mind around that he called her blessed and highly favored. In the Greek tense, it's ongoing. She couldn't wrap her mind around it. It's like if Gabriel stopped and said, "Are you listening to anything I'm saying? You're going to give birth to the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. You're going to, you know, like, this is big Mary." Mary's like, "Wait, I'm favored?" You know, so many people in the body of Christ, we are in a place where we're still questioning salvation and God's grace for us and God's love towards us and God's forgiveness to us. God's trying to get you to the manger and you're still over here questioning, do you love me? Do you care? Do you really care for me? Are the promises, are you really going to do miracles in my life? Where are you in this and where are you in that? And God's saying, "Listen, I've settled all that in my word. You shouldn't be struggling with that." And we really don't struggle with that. Where we struggle for that is when God wants to get us to the manger. When he wants us to be able to perceive that he could do something so tremendous in our lives. Doesn't have to be earth-shattering and huge. In our neighborhoods, in our families, in our church. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? That the plan involves you because you are highly favored of the Lord. God wants to use you for his purposes. But we have to come to a place where we can perceive that reality. Amen? Say perceive. You have to be able to perceive it. We also have to be able to conceive God's plan by his power. And we always make this thought, you know, as Pentecostals, we get in a rut. We kind of paint ourselves into a corner because everything's supernatural, supernatural, supernatural. It can only happen if there's this huge move. And experience power. Look at this. Verse 31. "And behold, you will conceive." Say conceive. "And you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Verse 34. "Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be since I'm a virgin?' The angel answered her and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God.'" Could you imagine? And then look at the screen, Matthew 1:20. When God's talking to Joseph, he says, Joseph was considering divorcing Mary. You know, I'm sure he was really struggling with this. And she, by right, should have been stoned to death, and he didn't want that to happen to her. And so when he had considered this, divorcing Mary, Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been, conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Say, of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the miracle of placing the incarnate Christ in Mary's body was conceived by the work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he used Mary's biological ability and placing her by his power brought life. In fact, this is the first time in the Bible since God created Adam that he created a life. That's why Jesus is called the second Adam. And he didn't create Jesus. Jesus was incarnated. So Jesus was with God from the beginning. I want to clarify that because Christ, you know, I see Rob Brown staring at me on this one because this is a big point. He was incarnate. He was with God from the beginning. And he was incarnate. It's a mystery and we don't really understand all of it until we go to be with God. But he was conceived in Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the life was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in Mary to give life to all those who come to salvation. Amen? And so everything you receive, you receive when you got born again. You got born again by the power. You were recreated in Christ. Ephesians 2 said, he made of the two one new man. F.F. Bruce said that When Christ came and the Spirit of God came and regenerated us and brought salvation, that God created a new species that would inhabit eternity. That's exciting. And so everything, say everything. I want you to follow me on this. Everything that pertains to life and godliness came because Mary conceived Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost. And when he died for us on the cross and was glorified and went to the Father in heaven, he sent his Spirit that recreated our nature to be like his. Now I'll get into that in a minute. Now listen, I want to get a little theological on this. Can I? Is that okay? Because I want you to be able to wrap your mind around us. We always use the term, talking about moments like this, as supernatural. Say supernatural. But this is not a supernatural moment. Supernatural means something that happens outside and beyond any created nature. You with me? So when God created the world, there's an awesome theological term called ex nihilo. Say ex nihilo. Okay, ex nihilo means out of nothing. And we don't know what it was like in Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. We don't know what it was like when there was nothing. But whatever nothing was, that's what was there. And when God spoke the worlds into existence, he did it ex nihilo, from nothing. But when God performed this miracle in Jesus, or in Mary, the actual term that should be used is preternatural. Say preter. Say preternatural. It's like you're saying preacher with a speech impediment. He's a good preter. Say preternatural. Preternatural means that there's an outside force that influences what's already created to make something new. In other words, Mary already had everything in her to bear a child. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God influenced her body, however that happened, to bring life. And from her embryos and from her body, she conceived and brought forth life. Amen? Supernatural would be if I took this big rock and I caused it to give birth. Because there's nothing in the natural of this rock that can give life. You with me? Now, why is this so important to understand? Because when God uses us, we always approach Him with this mentality that it has to be this big supernatural thing out there that doesn't exist, that has to waltz in from ex nihilo into our lives and do this amazing, incredible thing, and then we're going to go out and change the world. And that's how we think, and that's why we sit on our backsides and do nothing for the kingdom. Because we're waiting for the supernatural. But what preternatural says is everything that God needs to perform His miracle has already been placed in you. And by God's Spirit, His very nature, the communicable attributes of God, that means this. When I see Cliff's children and I see when I see their kids look like them, act like them, and talk like them. Why? Because their attributes that can be communicated through their genes are seen in their children, right? You with me? When I see your kids look like you. They sound like you. They talk like you. They act like you. They study like you. They read. I watch some of them. Say communicable. Attributes. All of the communicable, every attribute of God that can be translated to me in my finite me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The anointing, the power, the faith, the gifts, healing, everything. It's already inside. I don't need some huge outside from nothing to happen supernaturally. It's already there. That's why Paul told Timothy, stir up the gifts that have been placed in you. On the laying on of hands, stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. It's in you. You don't have faith, stir it up. I don't have faith to get to stir it up. Stir it up. Wake it up. Oh, thou sleeper. It's time to awake, for the day of our salvation is nigher than when, for those of you who love King James, wake up. Everything that you need to change the world. Listen, you know how David Wilkerson's ministry got started? He was sitting watching TV one night. His favorite programs. And God spoke to him on a couch and said, if you will turn off that TV and seek my face every night, I don't know, like 2 hours a night, when you would watch your shows, I will change the world through your life. Did you know that? I met his brother, Don Wilkerson, at the RCA Dome in Indianapolis. It was such an honor. And he shared stories. His brother was still alive at the time. I never got to meet Brother Wilkerson. It started because he turned off a TV for a couple hours a night. And then one thing led to another. Ended up in New York and met these gangs. And then God began to speak to him. Here it is. Everything that he needed to change the world. It didn't come ex nihilo. It didn't some big supernatural thing outside of nature, outside of what's created. Let me tell you something, because we misquote this passage all the time, and I'm going to make some people upset. Psalm 8, when it talks about he was made a little lower than the angels, right, in Hebrews, talking about Jesus, that passage was written about you. Who is man that you are mindful of him, O God? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. We don't realize who we are in Christ. And if we want to conceive, to bear God's work in the earth, no matter how big or how small. Listen, Mabel Dean was an old lady by the time she started planting churches in Africa. And everyone around her, if you read the story, I love that story. Everyone around her says she couldn't do it, including her superintendent. I love that story. You need to conceive everything that God has already created. Ephesians 4:24, look at the screen. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created. Say created. Say it again. One more time. Has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that divine promise power has granted to us everything. Say everything. pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, that by them we might become partakers of the divine nature. We act so defeated and broken and lost, like every time there's a trial, we're like, right? Because again, going back to the first part, we don't struggle with the promises and the covenants. We struggle that the promises and the covenants are with us, because we don't perceive our value in Him. But if you're going to conceive God's will in your life, you've got to understand it's already been placed in you. We don't need supernatural. We need preternatural. We need beyond the outside influence of the Holy Spirit coming in and God just stirring and working stuff up to make us become everything He wants us to become. Amen? You don't need to go Elizabeth Arden in the Spirit to get made over. Amen? You just need Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to activate in you. You know, some of you, I look at your lives. I look at the walks you've had, the faithfulness. God has done tremendous things. You know, there have been times in my life when I have come through a season and I look back and I have said this word, I've said this statement more times to the Lord than not. I said, God, if you told me any of that, any of what was going to happen over these last several years, that I was going to go through this, that I was going to have to walk in this. If you showed me any of that when I've asked you, I would have hightailed it out of here. I would have went back to school and got my law degree. So there's no way on God's green earth I would have said, okay, that looks fun. His grace blinds us sometimes. Amen. Thank God. And you look at it and you think, how did we do that? It was preternatural. God awakened something inside of you that He is already, His attributes that are already there for you to stand up under that thing and walk in the power of God. And out of it, you conceive something phenomenal. Amen. But we don't stop there. We receive God's plan by faith. Amen. Say faith. We receive God's plan by faith. Israel had all the promises and the covenants of God. But Hebrews tells us in chapter 4 that because they did not mix it with faith, they could not enter into the peace and the glory, the rest of God's promises. Look at verse 36. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave. Say bondslave. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. That is a loaded statement from this young lady. She had no idea what she was saying. The grace of God. And the angel departed from her. Verse 45. And then when she gets together with Elizabeth, she goes to visit her after all this happened, you know, because women are like, guess what happened to me? Oh my gosh, the Holy Spirit came. I don't know if it actually happened like that. But the Bible says they were excited. So I don't know if, you know, people back then were like, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Listen, there is no other process or system that you can proactively apply to the promises of God to make them happen other than faith. Faith is all you got to bring to the table. That is it. Other than what He put in you, faith is it. You have nothing within your natural person that can move mountains and change the hearts of men and bring deliverance and healing and sanctification. All you got is faith. That's why every great work starts with Jesus saying, oh, such faith. Oh, you need faith. Oh, my servant shall stand in faith. I will not have pleasure of those who do not believe. Faith got a dirty name in the 80s, but let me tell you something. Faith is all we have to bring to the table. Mary was so eager to believe because she understood that there was no other way to receive the amazing things that God was promising her in lieu of all the impossibilities surrounding her situation. I'm uneducated. I can't read and write because women couldn't at that time. I'm a teenager. Oh, Lord God. I think God had faith. God's the one that had faith in this story because God's like, yeah, Jesus, I'm sending you down to a teenage girl. What? No, give me that old mean woman that's never had a husband. Just she'll take care of me. No, you're getting a teenager. They lost Jesus. Isn't that amazing? They lost him. Joseph, do you have Jesus? No. Do you have Jesus? No. Where's the... Oh, we're all going back to Jerusalem. They lost God. Okay, those of you with that parenting issue, you're the worst parent in the world. Mary and Joseph lost the creator of the universe. Sink your teeth into the reality of that moment. Why, he's God. Shouldn't he know where he's going? I thought you had him. I thought Jesus was sleeping on a pew in the church. They lost God. Parents aren't perfect. Hallelujah. Secondly, faith is not simply saying, I'm going to sit around and watch TV until God does something. Look at the screen. Faith acts in obedience and subservience to everything that is necessary for the fulfillment of the promises by which we are believing for. Amen? She had to say, I'm a bondslave of the Lord. I'm a bondslave. I'm a bondslave. That was such a loaded statement because what she was telling God is, listen, I know this thing's not ending right here because I'm already having issues with my husband. Anna shows up to her and prophesies and tells her a sword is going to pierce your very soul because he has been mandated for the rise and fall of many in Israel. When everything was said and done, the Bible says that she pondered these things in her heart, that they were prophesying to her. And the whole time she's walking, she's saying, I'm the bondservant of the Lord. I'm the bondservant, Lord. I am your indentured slave. God, whatever required is required of me. Whatever the promises need me to do. If I need to walk, I'll walk. If I need to sit, I'll sit. If I need to weather a storm, I will weather the storm. If I need to be persecuted, I will be persecuted. If you call me up, I will go up. If you call me down, I will go down. Whatever is required of me to bring forth this baby, I will be a bondservant, a slave to what you want me to do. That is how faith works. And there is no other way to receive the promises of God but by faith. Faith acts. It's obedient. It's subservient. It tells God, I'm not only going to believe to puff in Cadillacs and mansions, I'm going to believe through the trials and the hardship, through the hell and the high water. I will not turn until I see a fulfillment of the things that you have spoken over my life. Amen. Visitors there are like, he's pretty serious about this stuff. Listen to me. There is nothing else we have but faith. We love to quote Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But we forget that there's miles between the things hoped for and seeing the things promised. Paul said, let us go to him outside the camp. He said the trash was burned outside the camp. He said, we're not going to be in the walls of pretty Jerusalem, patty caking with other Pharisees and Sadducees, because that's just religion. What God's calling us to is to change eternity. And Paul said, there's a price to it. So let us follow him outside the camp where the garbage and the trash and the bodies are brought. And not only to follow him outside of the walls of Jerusalem, but to bear his reproach. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might attain to a greater resurrection in him. Faith obeys. Stand with me, please. I don't know if any of you are believing God for something, or maybe something has been stirred in you and you have felt it coming for a while, that God wants you to begin to move. I got mine. What is it that God is asking of you? I feel there are people that are just, you're stirred. You don't know why. There's like God's wanting to bring something more into your life, but you just can't put a finger on it. But you're dissatisfied with your life. You're dissatisfied with your work. You're dissatisfied in the home. You're just dissatisfied. And you're saying, God, where are you? I know there's more. I know there's something else. I want you to come to the altar right now. I want you to bow your heart before the Lord. Because I believe this. I believe God is going to begin to birth in us a work, a new work. And he's not going to tell you today what it is. But he's going to begin to work it into your life over a series of situations. And you are going to serendipitously just kind of walk upon it. And when you see it, you're going to say, that is it. That is what God is calling me to. That is what God wants me to do. And you have to begin to perceive that you are an indispensable part of that. And you will only conceive it by understanding that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to bring out things and gifts and understand. Everything's already in you. Amen. Everything God needs you to be has already been placed in you. And then God's going to call you like Mary. And you're going to have to stand in faith and believe God. And he's not going to show you the whole picture, thank God, because you're not going to go. But he's going to walk you through the entire thing. Amen. If that's speaking to you this morning, I want you to just come down to this altar. We're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to begin to activate in you your future, what he's calling you to, what he wants to do. I don't care how old you are. You don't have to be 30 years old to have a future in Christ or do a new work. Amen. God's got a plan and he wants to use you in it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to wait for all those who are going to come and we're going to pray and God is going to do a work. Amen. God is going to do a work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, there are people in this room that cannot even fathom being a Reinhard Bunke or a T.D. Jakes or a Maria Shriver, Lord God, or a Beth Brown, Father God. They can't even, Marilyn Hickey, whoever, God, whoever we hold in such high esteem, we can't even wrap their minds around it. But God, you have already placed in them every communicable attribute of your nature. And God, we're asking right now that they begin to perceive that they are an indispensable part of your plan. And God began to stir in them, as Paul told Timothy, the gifts that you have placed within them by the laying on of hands, O God, in the name of Jesus. God, things in their nature that they don't see, but they're laying dormant. Begin to awaken those things in their character, in their mind. God, the one that keeps saying, but I'm not smart, but I'm not smart, but I'm not smart. God, she has the mind of Christ. God, that she would understand all things in the name of Jesus. By your Spirit, God. For the spiritual things are understood by the spiritual man, not by the intellect. God, quicken them in the name of Jesus. Father, there are gifts of healing. There are gifts of administration, Father God. There are those that you're going to use in corporate America, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Awaken those gifts in Jesus' name. God, we don't need something supernatural to be placed from outside of all that's created, God. We just need you to preacher. God, preternatural, Lord God, stir up what you've already created us to be, which is just a little lower than the angels. Endowed with the treasure of heaven, Paul said. God, stir them in the name of Jesus right now. God, that they would conceive your vision by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, then come to you by faith and tell you, so let it be unto me. I am the bondservant of the Lord. I will become obedient and subservient to all that the vision asks me to become in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. We ask that your work be done in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we so love you. We so love you. We so need you in this house, in our lives, in our families. Please move. In the name of Jesus, we yield to your work. We yield to your voice. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus. And if you receive that, say amen. Amen. So God, let it be. Everyone, raise your hands with me. If you're at the altar and you want to stay there, you stay right there. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless your children. God, I ask that as we go, that we would perceive that we are valuable to your work. That we can conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit because it's already in us, O God. And we can receive the fulfillment of all that is promised, Lord God, by faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love you. You go spend time with God. Have an awesome day. If you're at the altar and you need to stay, you stay. If you want to go, go. Love you all. God bless you. Oh,